And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. It goes from Huntsville back on over towards Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden, all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we get to call once again Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's a whole huge online audience we have in all four corners of the United States, and we appreciate you. Text lines are still open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. I got a few already. Let me see what we got here. There's one that I saw further down that I didn't get to. Where was it? I thought it was Thomas. Oh, he texted twice. Thomas Mathen said, Colonel, great monologue again, just as Christians can agree 80 to 90% of the time, especially on most of the really important things. And likewise, conservatives, Christians or otherwise, it seems President Trump has gathered together the right way. Let's all fight together. And then he came back with a second text. He said, Von Braun used huge money to develop V1, V2s during the war, actually keeping Hitler from spending enough money on their jet plane program and kept that program lagging behind. Therefore, Allied air power succeeded. That's interesting. I've heard before that Von Braun was not really all in on the cause, so to speak. He was more like trapped in the moment, but that he sort of put some bugs in the overall programs to make it more difficult. Still, though, the V1, V2 rockets killed a lot of people. He said, by the way, he said, I worked at MSFC as a student employee, low level, and met Dr. Von Braun on the elevator. He said he was amazing in so many ways. How about that? That's very cool. That's a firsthand memory. That's cool. Thanks, Thomas. Last one before I go to the materials. Dave from Capshaw says, I believe there were two movies about Castle Itter. I've not seen either one. I need to look that up. Okay, we'll check it out. Thank you very much. Listen, there ought to be a documentary. That's just a cool story. I mean, how about that? When German soldiers and American soldiers and a bunch of, rabble from different countries banded together to fight the SS in one of the last battles of the war. At a castle, no less. Just kind of cool.
It's crazy. The story that's cool like that is when the Christmas Day armistice where they World War One where they came across and played soccer for a day.
I did a whole monologue on that one time.
It's just like, we're wanting to kill each other. We can play soccer. You know, it's crazy. That's how the soldiers in the battle and sometimes are like, wait a second.
Do you know that just a few years ago on the 100th anniversary of that event, they held a German and English soccer game just to honor that moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Great story.
Very cool. All right, listen, we're going to jump on into the topics. I know this audience, you guys are extremely military-minded. We've got a bunch of folks out there that are either supporters or participants or contractors or in green suits right now. So this first one I've got here is, I call this dipper reshaping the military. I was talking to someone just a couple days ago who's still on active duty now, and they said the memorandum is out. It's a structural redesign right now of the military in many ways. There are programs that are being axed, legacy programs. There are realignments of force structure. They are consolidating commands. And in a minute, I'll tell you more about the fact that we also have a brand new directive as of yesterday, which was what sparked me doing this today. From Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, which I'm sure has the buy-in from the president, to basically cut the number of generals and admirals by like 20%. What they're doing by doing that, I'll say it right now, what they're doing by doing that is they're getting away from the notion of having top-down military so burdensomely heavy that it's like you have bureaucracy in the military. Now, by the way, it's so large there will always be some measure of bureaucracy. But they're getting back to where the rank and file is considered to be more the focus. So we're going to see fewer generals, fewer admirals, fewer flag officers, basically. And I don't know that's going to be a problem. We've got way more right now than we had on a pro rata share in World War II. And that was with a full mobilization. Okay, so all that to say, there's a lot of things happening with the military. And some of you guys are experiencing it. I do have someone that I'm close to right now who is questioning whether or not the program they've been working on at Redstone is going to continue to be there. And I don't know. It may not be. Okay. But we just had a ruling handed down. So I got a story right here that I hold in my calloused former paratrooper hands. CBS News, just about 10 days ago. Trump asked the Supreme Court to let him enforce the transgender military ban for now. All right, so just to back you up, what happened here was, as one of Trump's policy positions was that as a commander in chief and as the policy maker for the United States, that President Trump was not going to have transgenders serving openly in the U.S. military. It's deemed to be a readiness issue. It's deemed to be a morale issue. And I get it. I mean, it is. It's extremely disconcerting for someone to walk into their barracks and have someone of the opposite sex who claims to be what they're not taking a shower with you. It just is. It's also extremely disconcerting, oh, by the way, when you're deploying and you realize that as a deployment roster is being put together, that battle roster does not include so-and-so. Why isn't so-and-so going? Well, so-and-so's just started their hormone therapies, and they're non-deployable for a whole freaking year. Well, why did they get to just elect that and not deploy and basically use the taxpayers' dollars through the military to pay for their transition, and I got to go to war? Well, that's not a reasonable – that's a morale killer. That's a readiness issue. Okay. The lower courts said, nope, you can't have that policy. Because, you know, Judge Ana Reyes, she knows more about military readiness than Trump ever will. Her position was that it was in some way denying a constitutional right. But there's not been a ruling on the merits, so let me just rephrase. There's not been a ruling on the merits, but the judge did enjoin the Trump administration from moving forward on that policy. Okay. So now you can't do it? You mean a judge says the commander-in-chief can't be the commander-in-chief? Well, you know, you can as long as we agree with you. Well, this judge is actually an activist herself. That Judge Ana Reyes has been a rabble-rouser in her off time for a long time. She's openly gay herself. She doesn't believe in there being two genders. And she's the judge on the case? Okay. She deemed that the plaintiffs, seven transgender soldiers, had a reasonable expectation of prevailing on the merits of their case. So she stopped Trump from being able to put it in place with one of those nationwide injunctions we've been seeing so much about. Holy crap. Can you imagine? You're the commander-in-chief. It's the military. And you're told you can't set readiness levels where you think they should be. You can't set standards. All right. It went to a three-judge panel at the Circuit Court of Appeals. That judge panel did not agree to lift the injunction. So basically, they stayed enjoined. I said all that. I feel like I'm talking in circles. I said all that, but on April 24th, the Trump administration argued before the Supreme Court that banning transgender people through the military is something that should be allowed to take effect, and that if you keep in mind, Trump had already done it in his first term. It was Biden who had put him back in. All he's doing is putting things back to where he'd been before. There's legacy here. And that it's basically gender dysphoria creates a constraint on the ability for readiness. Today, brace yourselves, the Supreme Court agreed with President Trump. Can I have a hallelujah? You need to do that again because that was too low. We did. Story broke just a little while ago, right before I went on the air. Supreme Court stays the lower court ruling allowing the Trump transgender ban to proceed. Now, let me clarify. They did not rule on the merits of the case. That has not happened yet. The case can still proceed at the lower court level, but in the process of doing so, it will not be under an injunction, and the Trump administration is allowed to go forward with this policy. It's like, man, I mean, just all of a sudden, we're allowed to do something? Really? Well, that's a win. That's a near-term win, but it's still a win. And so that's just happened. The high court ruling is a near-term victory, says Fox News, for the White House, even as it did not address the underlying merits of the case. You can imagine it was Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson who were not in agreement. But the rest of the court said, yay, go ye therefore. And so they did.
So now can we eventually get a ruling on the merits of the case? I'm assuming that is coming.
Now it goes back down to the lower court level. This is what's called an interlocutory appeal, which means an appeal in the middle of the proceedings. Now it goes back down, and they will have to proceed forward on the merits of the case and then try the case on, I guess, its constitutional grounds. Then I guarantee it's going to go back up through the appeals process.
Yep.
In the meantime, those plaintiffs they're out.
But in the meantime of all of that proceedings, I mean, it's going to take a while. Trump can actually enforce, you know, what he wanted to enforce while that's being done. So I think that's a big victory because this
is a huge
victory. Like that's a big time period where the proceedings have to take place, where they have to rule on the merits or whatever. It's in the meantime, to not be able to be commander in chief would be outrageous.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think what we're looking at here is you're looking at a year or more before this thing ever proceeded. Now, will they stay in the case? I don't know, but I suspect that they probably will, because they're going to try, the plaintiffs in this case are going to try and fight it so they can set a precedent for future generations. You know, and they'll fight it saying that, you know, readiness. But here's the thing. I've said this before, but if you want to impress your friends by the water cooler at work, say, well, you know, it goes down to BFOQs. Remember that? BFOQs. Every job in the world is bound to not discriminate. I say world, the United States is bound to not discriminate on things like race, gender, pregnancy, and religious accommodations. You're not allowed to tell somebody, I won't hire you because you're a Christian. I won't hire you because you're pregnant. I won't hire you. You can't do that. Beyond that, you have to look at what else is there. All right. The transgender argument is trying to say that they are a protected class, and they're not. Okay, that aside, here's the thing. BFOQ, it stands for bona fide occupational qualifications. And what that basically means is if you want to be a fireman, you can't be a paraplegic. I'm sorry. You can't be in a wheelchair and climb a ladder. So you have to be able to meet certain physical standards. If you want to be, I don't know, a football player, you have to be able to run the 40. You know, there are occupational qualifications that get you in the job. Well, if you're non-deployable because you're going through gender transition surgeries and taking yourself off the deployment list, doesn't that mean you're not qualified for the job?
It should.
Yeah.
It very much should. But, I mean, like you said, the military is not some participation thing so that you can be a glass-breaking whatever. Like, our nation quite literally relies on our military. And I don't know if these activist judges don't grasp the reality of combat or whatever, but it's not some, you know, like I said, glass-breaking first transgender to do that. Like, no, none of that crap in the military, because our lives depend on it. And other soldiers' lives depend on it. It has no place in it, no.
Meritocracy mm-hmm. is not just how well you want to do the job. It's how well you can do the job.
Especially when lives depend on it.
That's exactly right. All right, take me to a break, brother. We'll come right back. I'll tell you more. We're talking about reshaping the military. I got a stack of stuff, man. You guys stay tuned. We're going to tell you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. John C. from Madison, Texas, N. says, my father-in-law worked at NASA for 31 years. He did work with Von Braun. Wow, how about that? So the Apollo program and also space shuttle program, some of his experiments went up on the space shuttle. He worked at NASA before it was called NASA. That's just very cool. Thank you, John C. Appreciate you. If you got a picture of your dad with Von Braun or anything like that, text it over. I'd love to see it. Mark from Red Bay said, I worked for a company once where a production manager told a guy, I can't tell you I won't hire you because I don't like the way you won't, because I won't, but I can't tell you I won't hire you because I don't like the way you look, but I can tell you I won't hire you. Understood.
Why can't you say that? Like, I don't know. I feel like you should be able to say, I don't like how you're dressed for this interview. I'm not going to hire you.
Well, you know what? I think you can.
Yeah.
I think there are some things you can say. Now, you can't say, I don't like the way you look because your skin color.
Yes. Yeah.
But you exactly. can say, well, sir, it's apparent to me that you don't understand the professionalism involved here because you came in dressed like a hobo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You come in looking like Joe Snuffy the ragbag and you want me to give you a job. By the way, you were 5 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
I had a job interview once at a former law firm I was at. I had a job interview. I was in charge. I was the managing, you know, attorney. So I had to hire secretaries and all that kind of stuff. So I had somebody come in. We put an ad out, you know, we're looking for someone. And this person came walking in, and they were like dressed in scrubs, like they're a nurse or something. I don't know. She comes walking in. She looked like she really didn't care. She was 5 minutes late. And she said, I'm just here to find out more about it. I'm not sure I really want this job. And I said, well, I'm not sure I want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, I mean, I said, you want to talk or don't you? You were 5 minutes late and you're not even dressed for an interview. And she goes, well, I mean, we can talk. And I said, no, I just don't think it's necessary.
That's certainly a way to go about it.
Yeah. That's
probably not the best way.
Don't advise it. No. Okay. All of you listening right now,
yeah.
I don't advise it. But yeah, that was something else. All right. Back on the topic. Reshaping the military. So I've got a piece right here that was put out yesterday on defense.gov. You know why? Because it's an official statement. So I am keenly aware as I read this that I'm reading their side of the story, but I agree with it. So there's that. Defense.gov, the headline is, or the title of it is, Defense Secretary's First 100 Days of Delivering on Promises. Okay, so this is their press release. This is their statement of what they believe they've been accomplishing. I get it, but you know what's interesting is I agree because I actually see it. The things that they're citing in here are not hard to find. They're real. And there's no puff in here. There's no puffery. This is like a compilation of, well, I did see that. Oh, I saw a story on that. Oh, I talked about the show one day. And they're all in one place right now. So Pete Hegseth, his office put this out as Secretary of Defense on the effort to reshape the U.S. military, which is where I got the name for today's Dipper. Peace through strength is the primary, he said. By doing that, they're going to be, quote, here's his words, restoring the warrior ethos, rebuilding the military, reestablishing deterrence. All right, so what have they done? Let's remind you of a few things. First of all, warrior ethos. Listen, I think anybody who's been in the military knows that's actually a real thing. That's called morale. That's called why do we do this? That's called who are we? That's not just I've got the ability to break down my, you know, my M4 rifle and put it back together blindfolded. That's not that. It's not just a question of whether you can shoot. It's a question of, do you know why you shoot? It's a question of, do you understand the game on mentality that comes from being a member of the U.S. military? So that warrior ethos, he said this, Hegseth did. When he put out the statement that says, we will return to the warrior ethos, he said, we are American warriors. We will defend our country. Our standards will be high, uncompromising, and clear. The strength of our military is our unity and our shared purpose. So immediately after he did that, here's one of the things that happened. He ordered a rapid force-wide review of military standards related to physical fitness, body composition, and grooming. What he found was standards had slipped in the last 4 years especially, greatly. So he reinstituted new standards for physical fitness, and he required a leveling of standards. If you remember this, we talked about it about a month ago, a leveling of standards in the combat arms. And for those who aren't familiar, in the U.S. Army, infantry armor, those kind of things, those are called the combat arms. If you're a female in the combat arms, you now have to do the same things that a man does. It's just the job qualification. There's a whole lot of this, and I'll get into more specifics in a minute, but they are reshaping the U.S. military. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. Yes, it is. We got plenty to talk about, and I'm still in number one of the Triple Dipper, reshaping the military. I was in this thing, I'll stay in it for a minute. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth put out something yesterday talking about the first 100 days of delivering on promises about the military. Here's some things they did. Okay, so first thing they did was they began to assess standards, and they assessed basically looking at people's body composition. Like, do we have people who are not meeting height weight standards? That's a thing. I get it. And listen, I have gone through the tape test multiple times in my life. I just do. I mean, and I was never overweight. I just was. Basically, the bottom line is muscle weighs more than fat. Let's put it that way. So I'd always get taped just to prove that I really could do the 75 push-ups I just did. But that's not the way everywhere. We're seeing a lot of people who are just allowed to continue on, allowed to not meet the standards, and that's changing. And it should. We also saw, believe it or not, grooming become an issue. There was a relaxing of the standards during the Biden administration that really got kind of ridiculous. And so they're going back to the idea of a military that has what we call stronger, more disciplined, uncompromising, clear standards. And that's, I'm all for it. Because when you go to take the high ground, when you go to take the hard fight, when you go to the hard places to do the hard things, you want to know that the people who are with you have a measure of discipline. And discipline, you may look at it and go, what's a haircut got to do with taking the hill? It's called discipline. When you innately have the standards to the smallest degree, then they add up to compile to being able to do the things at the larger degree. Hegseth also did this. They immediately instituted a policy of saying those who had lost their careers because of the ridiculous overreaching COVID vaccine mandates, who were kicked, 8,000 members of the military were kicked out. 8,000, active and reserve, involuntarily separated for refusing to meet the vaccine mandates. Under Hegseth, they've been invited back in. He's trying to quickly reinstate those who want to join, giving them back pay and even reinstating their rank. So you can have a 3-year, 4-year break in service. Maybe you got out as an E6, you come right back in as an E6. No, by the way, we'll pay you for the time you missed. We're sorry that happened. That's honorable. So what they're saying there is, we recognize what happened to you. We're trying to make it right. We want to make you whole. And that's honorable. And I see that as being a great way forward. He also got away from what he calls divisive initiatives, basically CRT, DEI, all that crap. In fact, he even put out the word, we're not going to be celebrating, you know, this National Heritage Month, that National Heritage Week, this special Pride Day. We're not doing all those things anymore. He said, we're going to celebrate people for their service. We're not going to celebrate them because of their characteristics. And I'm digging that, because we should not be having gay pride parades on post. We should not be having, just stopping everything so that we can celebrate what one demographic has as opposed to others. What else do we have? I mean, the military is being reshaped. Recruitment and retention through the roof. Through the roof. Through the roof. We have now seen all 5 military service branches meet their recruiting goals, which they were not making for the last couple of years. And 4 of them went beyond all of last year's performance already. We're only halfway through the year. That's huge. Then he started strengthening alliances and posturing with our strategic postures around the world, meeting with NATO, reaffirming our commitment to NATO, but also encouraging our European allies to kick in their portion to a higher degree. He had bilateral meetings with Australia, Japan, the Philippines, Saudi Arabia, the United Kingdom, El Salvador, France. Basically, what he's doing is he's strengthening these relationships with like over a dozen international counterparts. By the way, do you remember seeing the Secretary of Defense do this much in the last administration?
I couldn't even tell you how many times I saw. His name really just blanked in my. Yes,
Lloyd Austin.
That's proof right there. I couldn't even remember his name off the top of my head. I think the first big story of his that I saw was when he went AWOL.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, the only other times I saw him was like meaningless little press briefings where he said nothing. And no, I don't remember anything consequential that he did.
You know, he was an Auburn grad?
I knew he was from Alabama. But that's, yeah, about it that I knew about him. So.
I think he was probably one of the most forgettable secretaries of defense we've ever had.
He was I don't want to say DEI hire because I think, you know.
I think he was.
I think he was an identity politics, you know, hire to have. We got a black defense secretary.
He was a glass ceiling breaker.
Yes.
But he really wasn't, because we'd already had Colin Powell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like that was the Biden administration. Don't hire them for what they can do. Hire them for what you want them to look like. Over and over. Look at this one. We got this first of this with that first of that. Yeah, but what kind of job are they doing? That's part of the meritocracy piece.
He wasn't going doing PT with the guys like Hegseth is.
Are you kidding?
No, he
was too busy wearing a mask and a face shield.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, I will say this. Lloyd Austin had a long, pretty decent career. But there's some reason to believe, too, that some of what happened when I believe he was at CENTCOM didn't go real well. And it makes you wonder, how did he become SecDef? All right. Anyway, also, oh, by the way, cutting back on spending. So, yes, we're seeing a larger defense budget, but we're also seeing Doge getting into the Pentagon and finding $6 billion in potential savings. $6 billion in potential savings. And then we had, you know, securing the southern border. And then we had, oh, by the way, Yemen. Now, you saw, I didn't see it. You said you saw a press discussion today with Trump in the Oval Office. What did he say about Yemen?
So he was with new Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, and yep. he was asked by the press about the Houthis. And apparently Trump said that the Houthis called and surrendered. And
he's called and surrendered?
That's what he said.
We picked up the phone. It was the Houthis.
Yeah. He said that they don't want to keep fighting, that they'll stop bombing our ships. So he said that we're done bombing Yemen as of now. So that's of today.
Well, if that's the case, that would be something.
That would, yeah.
You know, here we are watching the Houthis. By the way, they got bombed by Israel today.
Yes.
So we pounded the crap out of them, and they're going to quit shooting at ships now?
According to Trump, he claims that they waved the white flag and said, we're done if you all stop bombing us. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't see anything on Fox when I was doing a quick scan. Right? Would you, while I'm talking through the rest of this stuff right here, would you see what you can find on that?
I can find
If you
a
find
clip.
Anything on that, that'd be cool. I'd love to. In fact, if you can find even an audio clip on it, that'd be hilarious. Here's another thing. I tell you what, I like this. So I'm on the National Board of Advisors for an organization called STARS. It's an organization that is committed to the idea of getting wokeness out of the military and celebrating the idea of putting the warrior ethos back in place. So Senator Tim Shahey, if you don't know him, he is a brand spanking new senator. He's also a former Navy SEAL from Montana. And Shahey just wrote a piece that was published 3 days ago, saying the first 100 days of putting warfighters first. And he says when he met Pete Hegseth in early December ahead of his confirmation, he asked him one simple question: are you going to have the backs of our warfighters? His answer was an unequivocal yes. And he said, basically, the Biden administration left everything in a state of disrepair, but he's been watching as a former SEAL. He's a Republican, I get that, but he's been watching as a former SEAL, a guy who was in the ranks as a warfighter. He is watching everything, and he talks about it. I'm not going to try and just say everything he said, but just talked about what he's been doing and the fact that they're restoring the U.S. military in such a way. He said this. He said, recruitment is on the rise, terrorists are on the run, and most importantly, our warfighters know they have a president and a defense secretary who has their backs. That's a great summary right there. Did you find anything?
I got an audio clip about a minute long if you want to hear it.
What time we got? Yeah, I'll tell you what. Let's just see what it says.
We had some very good news last night. The Houthis have announced that they are not, or they've announced to us at least, that they don't want to fight anymore. They just don't want to fight. And we will honor that. And we will stop the bombings. And they have capitulated. But more importantly, we will take their word. They say they will not be blowing up ships anymore. And that's what the purpose of what we were doing. So that's just news. We just found out about that. So I think that's very, very positive. They were knocking out a lot of ships going, as you know, sailing beautifully down the various seas. It wasn't just the canal. It was a lot of other places. And I will accept their word, and we are going to stop the bombing of the Houthis effective immediately. And, Marco, you'll let everybody know that.
Okay. That's huge. If that's the case, then we just bloodied their nose and they decided to stop shooting at ships. And what that does is not just say we won. It puts world commerce back into a better place as we're dealing with tariffs and all
yes.
that. World commerce is going to have to be able to get right-sized again and not have to sail around the horn to avoid the Houthis.
He also mentioned he's going to the Middle East, I think, tomorrow.
Trump is?
Yeah. So he also mentioned that he's got a massive, massive announcement. I mean, he says everything's massive, but he claims that this is like one of the bigger announcements he's had before he's going to the Middle East tomorrow. So
it's
I don't know.
Huge.
What,
it's huge.
I don't know what that's concerning. But I mean, if the Houthis just surrendered, supposedly to Trump, and he's got another big announcement, it could hopefully be good signs in the Middle East. But fingers crossed for that.
Wow. Okay. Very cool. And you know what? If that's the case, then what we just saw was the Trump policy actually worked. If the Houthis are going to say, we're done, we're not going to do it anymore, well, guess what? They were shooting under Biden and nothing changed. 48 days later, Trump starts pounding the crap out of them, and next thing you know, boom, they're done. That would be, if that holds true, that's a win. All right, we get back from this break. I'll tell you about a couple more things and kind of wrap this up. But you're looking at some serious structural changes to acquisitions, to military force structure, and even to generals. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. That's crazy. I'm sitting here looking, and I just looked up and realized that the Fox News screen that we have up in the Will Cain show is on, and they're basically doing the same dipper I'm doing. I sometimes think they watch our show to see what we're doing.
I think Will Cain has a producer that listens to our show and just go, yeah.
Just saying, I'll do it for half his paycheck. But yeah, they're literally talking about all the same things. Okay. Hey, listen, let me wrap this up for you. I got one.
Sorry, I had to. Did you see that 100% negative coverage from mainstream media?
Oh, yeah, Hegseth.
How do you, 100%?
100%.
That is insane.
They have never said a positive thing about him at all. They don't even like his hair.
That's a badge of honor, I'd say.
Yeah, it is. Fox News has a piece that I've got in my calloused former paratrooper hands that Hegseth has just, as of yesterday, ordered a reduction in general officers in the military. I told you that, but here's the thing. There's currently 44 four-star generals or admirals, all right? Four-star flag officers, making a ratio of about one general to 1,400 troops compared to the ratio we had during World War II of 1 to 6,000. So we're looking at a complete reduction. They're talking about a minimum 20% reduction in four-star generals and flag officers in the active duty, as well as a 20% reduction in the National Guard. Listen, we're getting rid of bureaucracy. That's what it sounds like. And then there's this. Hegseth has now ordered a sweeping army overhaul and consolidation. So, okay, what's happening here? I won't try to summarize the whole article. I'll just tell you this. We're not looking at business as usual. That's the point. We are not looking at business as usual. They have decided that they will wind up taking certain commands. Like, for instance, I think we're looking at Army Futures Command, Training and Doctrine Command, being combined with what's called ForceCom, Forces Command, and U.S. Army North, U.S. Army South. They're basically doing a merger of major commands. That alone is going to be cutting the number of generals. But we're also looking at building a leaner, more lethal force, not cutting back on force structure per se, but then they're getting rid of programs like this. I saw this and I thought, well, that was almost a given, I think. Did y'all see that last year? Those of you in acquisitions know the deal. The Army came out with what's known as the M10 Booker Light Tank. The M10 Booker. It looks like a miniature tank. That's not a tank. You can't call it a tank. Well, it's got a big turret with a gun. What is it? It's a fast-moving infantry troop carrier with a tank-like turret. Okay. It was designed to put, I get it, it was designed to put armor into a lighter mode. But how light was it really? I mean, the bottom line is this. The Army just canceled it. Under the Trump administration, the Army looked at that and said, you know what? It's a $1 billion program. And is this really taking, you know, over where the Bradley and the Stryker already are? So we're getting rid of the M10 Booker. Okay, that just went away. So they are not afraid to make moves. They are not afraid to rattle cages. They are not afraid to enforce standards. They are not afraid to say, not you, but listen, more of that. They're not afraid to say, I'm sorry, we're not going to mollycoddle you anymore. And then they came out with the sex-neutral fitness standards, which I don't think I need to go into again because I already talked about it. But I've got a whole stack. Listen, if you're watching online, look at the amount of paper I've got just on Dipper 1. I'm a lawyer. We can burn some paper. But that being said, I'm for it. I'm loving what I'm seeing. Loving it.
I'll just say the 100% negative coverage, they wouldn't be doing that for nothing. So, like, Hegseth's got to be doing something good if he's getting 100% negative coverage and they jump on anything they can on him, like signal gate and all that. If he wasn't doing such a good job, I mean, they wouldn't be going after him so hard, I'd say.
I would totally agree. Mm. In fact, I would say that's almost the given right there. That's mm-hmm. that's the giveaway. That's the canary in the coal mine right there. We got a thing going. They hate Hegseth. He must be doing something right. Mm-hmm. John C. from Madison talking about the fitness test. He says, I used to take the tape test constantly, but my 19-inch neck definitely helped. Instead of 5'7", 190 pounds, my PT scores were approximately 80%. I was a long-distance runner, never fell out of a run. 2001, I got called up for Saudi Arabia. I was healthy. When I came back, I was diagnosed with diabetes. I had to medically retire in 2010. Man, I hate that. He said, if trans people can stay in with all their hormone therapies, why couldn't I stay in with diabetes? Both of them need lifelong care. John C., you ask a fair question. By the way, thank you for your service. And yes, I totally get it. I'm 6'2", 220. Worked out this morning. Feel good. Being 6'2", 220, when they say you have to be no more than 6'2", 209, was always a thing. But you know what? Max the PT test, throw the tape on me. I don't care. Mike from Florence says, it used to be that all those standards applied to sports. If you weren't good enough and or in good enough physical shape, you didn't get in. The left tried to change that in women's sports, and they tried to change it in the military, Mike. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Enough of that. Move on. Phil Williams will be right back.